Well, good morning, church. Can you hear me all right? Can you just move that slightly out of the way? There we are. You can still hear me okay? Good. It's a joy to be with you this morning. And thank you for your words, Alex. But it has been quite a journey with the Lord and a good wife as well. Well, look at these smiling faces. It's absolutely wonderful, isn't it? If we were to go with a text this morning, it would be twofold, actually. One is in Hebrews. But let's go to the reading first, and that was from Mark. And the Lord has laid on me this text and this word to share with you. If we were to use the text, the text would be found in the reading where the father came to the Lord and he said, "Lord, I do believe, but help thou my unbelief." And for many today, I believe, that is where a lot of us are. We do believe, but there is that area of unbelief because of our makeup maybe or where we are at that particular time. We're all on a journey, each and every one of us, in this room this morning. You don't know the depths of my being, I don't know the depths of your being, but one thing is sure, God does. And the word's very clear, it says there, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And we can put on a facade, the suit, and everything else. But God knows Ken Davis. And God knows you. So the father, he was quite open. He said, "Lord, I do believe, but help thou my unbelief." And the next text is found to coincide with that, which says in Hebrews that they that come to God must believe that he is. We must come to God and believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The word diligent means work. We have to strive and work in our relationship with the Lord as we go through life. And it's not always, you know, plain sailing, isn't it? The challenges come. And issues come. Family issues come. Health issues come. But it's that constant, diligently seeking God and believing that he is. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you go through the Gospels, the Lord brought four questions to people on various occasions. And those are the four questions that I want to look at this morning. And the first one is in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 51, where we have that incredible situation of Bartimaeus. Do you remember blind Bartimaeus? 51. Sorry, Mark chapter 10. First mistake. Are you keeping a record, Alec? I noticed you haven't got your notebook out this morning. Or you're jotting down, right, okay. So, first one, Mark chapter 10, verse 51. Picture the situation. Bartimaeus sat by the side of the road. And Jesus is walking past. And the crowds have gathered, and he's aware something is happening. And he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing. And he realizes in his spirit, here's my opportunity. for my healing. He's sitting there and he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord stopped, it says the Lord stopped and commanded that he be called. Look at the grammatics, beloved. It's very important when we read the Word of God. The Word of God, by the way, is the voice of God. When you read the Word of God, God is speaking to you. And we need to understand the grammatics of the Scripture. The Lord commanded him to be called. Not asked, commanded him to be called. But take note what Bartimaeus done. The first thing he done, he undone his coat and he took it off. Now when you study Jewish custom and law, you'll find he wore this garment because it symbolized his infirmity. So by faith, because now he knows I'm in front of a man that can do something for me, he can heal me. And he takes off that thing that is an hindrance to him. He's disregarded his disability. And he's thrown it aside. And he's come to the Lord. In faith, believing. And then we have in Mark chapter 9, as we read, let's go there, where the Father comes. This might look bitty, but don't be misled. It's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. And I can guarantee you something's going to be said this morning that's going to matter to you as it is going to matter to me. And by the way, don't get offended when I start pointing the finger, right? Because there's three pointing back at me. I remember on one occasion I was preaching and one of the deacons came up to me after. He said, brother, he said, you're pointing a finger. And I said, brother, don't be offended. But there's three pointing back at me. Well, there's one pointing to you. And the Lord says to him there, believest thou that I am able to do this? That was what the Lord said to this father. Do you believe I'm able to do this? And, you know, we go through life and we come against certain challenges and issues. I'll share one that's very personal to Rita and myself at the end of this time together. He asked the father, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And even in the situations that we have to come to that point where God's going to say to each and every one of us, do you believe? Do you really believe that the situation you're in, I'm able to deal with this? I've had very often many challenges. And we go to the Lord in prayer and you get that. You know in your spirit the Lord's saying, do you really believe that I'm able to do this? And the Lord, the man was honest enough to say, yes, Lord, I do believe. But help thou my unbelief. And if we go on, let's go to another situation. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. I love this, the situation here. The woman with the blood disorder. By law, she was not allowed to leave her home. The Jewish law was, you were unclean. So let's look at the situation here. Here she is. She's in the house. The neighbors, the friends have come along and they said, right, Martha, we'll say Martha, we're going to get some groceries. We're going to Sainsbury's to do the shopping. Anything you want. And she gives them the list and the bank and the basket to put the groceries in. But then she hears the commotion. Well, what's going on? Oh, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now she's got a thought, a prompting in a spirit, this is the man I'm waiting for. Because he can heal me. She has the faith to believe that he can heal her. So what does she do? She's got to make a decision. She's got to step out. And she comes out of the house. And she's in amongst the crowd of people. But take notice of her position of where she is. She's not standing alongside the Lord like this, but she's prostrate on the ground because she's touching the hem of his garment. You look at the Jewish rabbi on the bottom of the tassels of the skirt, the place of authority. And that's where she went, to the place of his authority. She knows he can heal her. And she touches the hem of his garment. And he turns to the disciples and he says, "Who touched me?" I can imagine Peter, impetuous Peter, saying, what do you mean, who touched you? The people are thronging against you. They're pushing you here than ever. Somebody's touched me. But he knew who it was that touched him. But he wanted her to make the move. And she comes, she said, "Lord, I touched you." It's not going to just happen by sitting back, beloved. We have to make that move. Those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We were in Ghana, Africa. There was 250,000 chairs put out for people to sit on. They were full. They were sat up on walls, trees, buses, trucks, everywhere. Richard and I were the only two white people there. And beloved, I can tell you what we saw there. You cannot deny that God is still at work healing people. Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever, as he was, so he is, so shall he be. We saw children there. We were up on the platform. As young as our great-grandchildren, shuffling out on their bottoms, never walked. And the Lord just touched them. And they're standing up and walking back. A father came up onto the platform with his daughter, and he was stood in front of me, and I was with the main speaker of the conference, and he held his daughter in his arms like that, and he was as close to me, Alex, as I am to you. And her body was mangled, twisted, and I seen and heard every joint right itself. And he stood her down, and she walked off with her dad. So I can't say to you, I don't believe anymore. And I'm waiting for it to see it happen. I've seen it happening. And as over the years we have prayed with people that have had issues, and we've seen them recover. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. She touched the hem of his garment, and straightway she was made whole. "Who touched me?" he said. And then we have that one situation where, do you remember the man at the pool of Siloam, John chapter 5? Do you remember that one? unless I have somebody to help me in. When the waters were troubled, unless I have somebody to help me in, then I can't get in there. And the Lord dealt with that situation there, inasmuch as he said, take up thy bed and walk. This is going to be quite simple and straight to the point this morning. We're not going to get into any great, deep, theological debate. It's going to be quite simple, but nonetheless very true, because it's God's word. I love that situation where the Lord is walking along, and he comes to the house. And as he's arriving at the house, two blind men came along and cried out and said, Lord, help us, heal us. And he walked past them. Think about it, he walked past them as if they were non-existent. And he went into the house, they're in the crowd. Now, put yourself in their position. Just for a moment, close your eyes. Close your eyes. What can you see? Nothing. They saw nothing. They couldn't see. You could open your eyes, you can see. But they're in a crowd of people. He's gone into the house. And they came into the house. And the first thing he said to them was, he was the first one to start the conversation, if you read that situation. He says to them, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What was he doing? He knew where they were. He heard them in the crowd. But he walked past them. Why? I ask God when I read it, why? Explain to me why you done that. Why couldn't you have gone over and touched them there and then? And the answer was, I brought them to a place. I was bringing them to a place of responsibility. Now, we don't like that term in the church. Because it means now you've got to do something. You've got to take responsibility. Not come with a list, Father this, Father that, and everything else. No, no. He brought them to a place of responsibility. And break up the word responsibility. My response to his ability. Those that come to God must believe that he is. And that he rewards that faith. It's not just one-way traffic all the time. And God looks for response from his children. We are the beloved of God here this morning. I take it as read that every one of you are born again. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Is that correct? All of you. So we are the beloved of God. Scripture says it. The very hairs on our head are numbered. Such is the intimacy that he has with each and every one of us. He speaks to me no different than he can speak to you. I'm not special. Rita's not special. Alex, being one of the leaders, or one of the leaders higher, are not special. We're all the same, as far as he is concerned. Glory be to God. But he brought them to that place of responsibility. Do you believe that I am able to do this? He said, yes, Lord. He touched them. And they received their sight. Can you say amen this morning to that? Glory to God. And then we have that situation. You remember the situation of the young boy with the palsy. And his friends came to the house and they said to his mother, where's Jacob? Oh, he's upstairs in bed, he's resting. So upstairs they go. And they pick him up on his bed. And they carry him out on his bed, on their shoulders, and down the street they go. And he's holding on for grim death. He said, where are we going? Where are we going? We're going to take you to see Jesus of Nazareth. So they turn the corner. There's a crowd. How are we going to get past there? That's a problem. Now, for some of us, it would have ended there. We would have stopped there, but we've tried. We've tried. Best we go home. No. We'll go around the back end there. We'll try that way. It's around the back. They go, and there they are going down the street. He's up on his bed, holding on. Are they running down the street with him? Is it true? Can you imagine the situation? He's holding on, and they're going down the street. Crowds again. What do we do now? Even at that point, there are those of us who have said, well, okay, we'll call it a day. Let's go back home. No. We'll go up the steps. Look at the steps. They go up onto the roof. He's in there. We'll go up onto the roof. We'll go up onto the roof. Right, so we're up on the roof. He's down in there. So what are we going to do now? We've got to get him down there. So looking around, where's a hammer? You're looking at a pick. We'll make a hole in the roof and drop him down, lower him down. So they get the hammer and the pick and they slam him out of this roof, and the owner of the house is then, oi, 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 what are you doing to my roof? And the Lord is sat there speaking to them, and debris and dust falling down. He's not unaware of what's going on here. And then they lower him down, and he's coming down, looking around, and he sees the Lord. Oh, look out, now I'm for it. And he's holding on to the bed, and they lower him down. There's a tremendous turning of truth in the word in here now. It says there, when the Lord saw their faith. What is their faith? Then he said to the guy on the bed, take up thy bed and walk. And he that came to Jesus on his bed walked away from Jesus with his bed on his back. Is this helping you this morning? I pray it is. I pray that this is an encouragement to us in our faith. The four questions of Jesus. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Believest thou that I'm able to do this? Who touched me? Wilt thou be healed? Now, let's get personal. Let's get personal now. Every one of us here this morning, we have a challenge of some description, a need, physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, whatever you want. I don't know. Unless God tells me, I don't know. He does. And he doesn't want us to go around carrying that, but to be free. To be free in whatever situation we have. We have situations, Peter and I, with the family, like any other parents, grandparents, great grandparents. We have challenges, we have issues. We have children that have walked with the Lord, and I've baptized some of them, and some of them have wandered away. They've wandered away. How heartbreaking is that? The important issue is there that God knows, and he expects us to keep that door open to them, as he keeps the door open to us. So be encouraged this morning, church, with those four challenges there. Consider them. and let them become a vital and important issue in your life. Because he is faithful. God is faithful. Does healing still work? Yes, it does. When we were in Africa, we were chauffeur-driven everywhere. And we would travel in a convoy of three cars. There'd be a car in the front. We would be in the middle car. The car would be behind us. And when we came to any crossroads, junctions, anything like that, the car in the front would stop over and block the road, and we would go on. The car in the back would come into the front, and then that car would come behind us. And we never stopped from the time you got in the car to the time you got to the place where you're going to get out. Cars never stopped. I asked the question, why? And they said, because of assassination attempts. This particular day, we were in one car. And we were going to be taken to a village out in the back of beyond in the jungle. And we were driving down a road. Traffic this side of us, traffic that side of us. And we were going 80 miles an hour right down the centre. And we're in the back, driver, interpreter, and two other people with us. And I look in and I said to Rita, I said, there's a truck coming towards us. Rita's not going anywhere. There's nowhere for him to go. And she looked and we were looking, and it was an old World War II army truck, and it was starting to fill the screen, Alex, of the front of the car. And I said, Rita, I held her hand. I said, love, I'll see you when we go home. Because there was no way out of this now. 80 miles an hour. And I put my hand onto the front seat like that. And I looked back. And the truck was going up the road behind us. Traffic here, traffic there. We went through the thing, or it went through us. And the car behind it clipped our car, spun us off the road. This was all in a matter of seconds, wasn't it? And we are now over here in a ditch. Okay? The car's starting to burn. Traffic is still going here. So what do we get from there to here? My hand was busted. You can see my finger is still. My hand was like that, but the Lord's healed. But he knows what he's doing. I'm grateful that my hand isn't clawed. She said, Ken, I can't move. I can't stand to go up. So everybody's rushing around, and they physically picked Rita out of the car, and they took us to a military hospital. By the way, we had our own Christian doctor, Christian colonel, because it was an army based, and we had our own room, pharmacist, everything, and they x-rayed her, and we had four military men. The stretcher was a blanket that they would wrap up taut and then carry her like that. They x-rayed her. The spine was fractured. The pelvic bone was fractured. And the two hips were fractured. And they said, you will never walk again. You'll never walk again. At best, you might be on a Zimmer and a wheelchair, because that'd be it. That's the extent of it. They flew us back to London. She had to go into isolation because we'd just come back from Africa. I had to go and stay with my daughter, who was just down the road from the hospital, and my son would come and bathe me because I'm not like this. The funny story, the funny part of this was, we were on this plane coming home. And I got to tell you, because let's keep it light. We don't want to get serious and heavy about this thing, do we? You know? She said, Ken, I got to go to the toilet. I said, Rita, we're coming into Land Heathrow Airport. She said, I got to go. She said, And we're right up the front. So they closed the curtains, right? And they helped her to the toilet, and they opened the door, and they said, "Now, Reet," because obviously they can't take her into the toilet. I said, "Reet, put your arm around my neck." She said, "Well, put your arm," said, "my arm, put your arm around my neck, and I'm going to lift you up and walk you in, put you down onto the toilet, and then I'll come out, okay? I'll be on the plane, and we're coming into land in Heathrow Airport." Done all of that, said, "Right, I'm ready, put your arm on my leg," picked it up, boom, 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 back up, put her into the seat, and she put the belt on, boom, we were done, and we were going up the runway. Praise God. And there's a car waiting there for us, and took us home. And then it was all hospitals this and hospitals that and God knows what else. And then 4 years, 4 years of positive confession, staying in the Word, coming to God, because He's the guy who's got the answers that we need. Believing that He is and that He will reward the faithfulness that we had in her healing. We were in Canada, and we were asked to take the devotions for the week. And on the Saturday morning, I preached on the seven wounds of Jesus and the power of the blood. If I come again, that'll be the next sermon that we'll speak on. And the Lord said to me at the end of that, "I want you to sing King of Kings, Majesty." So I said, "Right, okay." So I went up to the praise and worship leader. I said, "Can we sing King of Kings, Majesty?" And he said, "Right, fine." And Rita was sat on the front row with her sticks. And she got up and hobbled. And she was going to the washroom. And she came back. No sticks. I broke down. I was done. 4 years waiting, believing. Here it is. She's running around the stadium with another woman from the church. And we're all watching from the window. "You'll never walk again." That wasn't God's answer. God said, "Yes, you will." We were staying at a friend's house. And because we lived further out from where this was actually taking place. So we were staying there. And we got up the following morning. She got out of the bed. She went bang, down onto the floor. Legs totally gone. And she's on the floor and she said, "Satan, you're a liar, because God has given me my healing yesterday." Do you remember? And she got up and she's walked ever since. There's the proof. There's the proof of what we're talking about this morning. Those who come to God must believe that He is. And the Lord this morning, beloved, as I'm telling you this, He's asking each and every one of you that same question, because He's the same today as He was then, and He'll be the same tomorrow. Do you believe? Whatever your situation is this morning, wherever it is, He's asking you, when you come to Him, do you really believe I'm able to do this? I'm done, Alex. Glory to God. There's no more to say. I think enough has been said. I hope it's been a help to you. I hope it's been an encouragement to you. Do you know, I really pray I'd want to hear wonderful sermon. What I want to hear is, thus blessed me. Bless God, thank you, Lord. And you'll take it. You'll take it from this place and go to the Lord with it and trust him. We're living in a time where we need him more than ever. We really do. And we're going to see great and wonderful things happening to his praise and to his glory. Father, I just bless you this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege you've given me to share this word. I pray for my beloved brothers and sisters here, that, Lord, they will take hold of this message. Lord, you will challenge them with it. You will encourage them with it. Holy Spirit of God, fall upon them and be all and everything they stand in need of. And Father, we can turn around and say, thank you, Lord. And glory be to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Lord.